This morning the message is coming to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. Hear now Ephesians 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. The word of the Lord. Join me in prayer. Father God, as we come before your word, we ask that it would be your word proclaimed this morning, that it would be nourishing, that it would be a word which encourages, which turns our eyes to joy and to praise, to yourself and to your Son, to your Spirit, that your Spirit would take your word, implanting it deeply within us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to be preaching here again. I suspect these opportunities will be much fewer in the future. So I'm grateful for these opportunities. Being an assistant pastor in a church with one service, the number of times I get to preach are far fewer in between. Ironically, the last time I got to preach was on Mother's Day. So here I am preaching on Father's Day. So I get those services. But I'm grateful, and I have to confess, I'm delighted. Being a pastor, being a preacher, I enjoy preaching. I enjoy standing up here. I enjoy the sound of my own voice. I want to say, I enjoy proclaiming God's word, and that's true, but I also enjoy it in of itself, and there's a part of me that wants to say, and I think particularly within Reformed faith, all pastors tend to think this way, particularly in Reformed faith, that when it comes to the service, that the most important thing is the preaching of the word, and one might say even to the point of saying that if we had to strip down the service, that the one thing left would be the preaching of the word. Now I know I've known a few music directors in my life, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I know that most music directors will say, "Well, when it comes to the service, if you as long as you have the hymns, the singing, you can get rid of this preaching." So I know that there's differences there, but I say that because I point out that there's a tendency on my part to say, "Well, when it comes to the church, what's the most important thing? It's the preacher, it's the preaching." The flip side of that, of course, is that I start to say, "What's the least important part? What can be neglected?" I begin to say, "Well, the congregation." See, that's the weakness of that position, of elevating the preaching in such a way as it's bound within myself, that I begin to neglect the rest of the body. And to some degree, that's going to be the center, and we're going to see ourselves focusing on the body this morning, and particularly as it's presented in Ephesians chapter 4, here in verses 15 and 16. Ephesians, if maybe you've done a Bible study on Ephesians, maybe you've been reading through it yourself, maybe, heaven forbid, whoever was preaching last Sunday was preaching from Ephesians chapter 4. But you might know that Ephesians chapter 4 is, Ephesians, the whole Ephesians, is about the church. It's about the body of Christ. It focuses tremendously upon the church. That to miss that is to miss the main threads of Ephesians. So it's important for us to recognize that and to see that this morning. But particularly what I want us to focus on this morning is something that has struck me more and more lately. So I've been on an Ephesians kick myself. I was doing a Bible study of it with some youth group members, and I've been thinking about it a lot more lately. And I've been particularly thinking about this passage. It's the verses that I read to you, 15 and 16. As verses, they are somewhat, I confess, confusing. Let me read it again. It feels like a run-on sentence. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head of head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. It feels as though it's a run-on sentence. If he has this tremendous number of subordinate clauses packed into this single sentence. And it is that which causes me to want to unpack it somewhat for us, but not unpack it so much to focus on subordinate clauses, but one might say on the main clause, on that which all the subordinate clauses are kind of shoved inside of. But before we get to, we'll get to that now. We'll step back a moment. I want us to step back a moment. Before we see what's being said here, I want us to think before we see what it's really saying. And I want us to think about this. I want us to think about our sanctification. I want us to think about our growth in Christ. How do you grow in Christ? How are you sanctified? How is it that tomorrow you are, for lack of better words, a better Christian than you are today? What is it that you do? What is it that you engage in? Now, different people, or how do you become a better person overall? Different people will have different answers to that. There's your classic, I look for some good books to read. Maybe some good self-help books. Or perhaps I get together with others and create an accountability group. Or perhaps, I try harder. I spend more time in God's Word. If I'm particularly thinking spiritually, becoming a better person, what do? I try harder. I become more involved in prayer. I try to spend more time in prayer. I try to spend more time in God's Word. Maybe instead of listening to secular music, I make sure that when I'm listening to the radio, I'm listening to gospel music. Or when I've got time at home, I put on a podcast. Maybe I make sure to get some really strong preaching throughout the week when I'm driving into work. And these are all things that we do, and I think they're good in of themselves, but in many ways what we'll see this morning is that they miss the point about how we grow in Christ. Now, I know we are all here largely good Presbyterians. So when somebody asks you, how is it that you grow in Christ, your natural response should be, well, the Spirit is causing me to grow in Christ. And that is true. But what we're getting at this morning is, what are the means that the Spirit uses to cause us to grow in Christ? And for that, I want us to look much more closely at this passage, particularly the second half of the passage, particularly the verse 16 onwards, where it reads, "From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love." Listen to what happens when you take all the subordinate clauses out of that section of the sentence. From whom the whole body makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. from whom the whole body, joined and held together, that joined and held together, that is the subordinate clause, from whom the whole body makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. In other words, if there's anything I want you to take away this morning and to think about and to consider in your own lives as Christians, as those followers of Christ, is this: that what the Spirit uses to grow the body is the body. That is, that the instrument by which the Spirit perfects us, by which the Spirit regenerates us, by which the Spirit sanctifies us, by which the Spirit builds us, is the body. I want you to think about that. I want you to consider what that means. Because Paul then, using that, he's saying, look, we are bound into Christ. Christ is our head. Paul is saying our goal ultimately, of course, is to be in the image of Christ, to be like Him, to look like Him, to think like Him. Later on, he talks about how the church is like the bride of Christ, that Christ is the husband and that the church is the bride. He also intimates that the church is also like the children of God, that Christ is the father of the church in some sense, that he is the one to whom we are His children. He also suggests that there's a sense in which Christ is the master of the church and we are His slaves. He uses these pictures throughout Ephesians. These are all pictures that he has, but in each of them, he presents a picture in which we are His, and we are like Him, and we are growing up into His likeness, and we are a reflection of Him. But now, here in our passage, Paul is suggesting and telling us how Christ goes about doing this through the working of the Spirit. And that is by working the body into the body, that the body ministrates to the body and ministers to the body. Now, how does the body do that? What does the body do? The body, he says, does it when each part is working properly, when each part is equipped for that which it is to do properly. Now, what does that mean? I think that's important. Because earlier, let's unpack that. Working backwards from our passage, we can catch a couple key phrases. He talks about us no longer being children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind or doctrine. Or a little back, further back, until we all attained to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Or further back, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You see, he has this view, and I think it was presented throughout the service this morning, through the readings, of a church, of a body that is multifaceted, of many different parts coming together, working together, that the body might grow, of many different parts. That was carried through the readings this morning. I love that. I love that reminder. I've gotten ahead of myself, unfortunately. Because not only is it working together, it's working together in a particular way. It's working together in a particular way of speaking truth and love. Much as earlier he says, no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind and doctrine. All this together. How do I make this clear? What am I getting? Let me make this clear what I'm getting at. As the body is required, as one another, what he's getting at here is this. for me to grow, or for any one of you to grow in Christ. It requires the rest of you to grow. See, our tendency is to think, well, what is required for me to grow in Christ, to be a better Christian, to love Christ more faithfully, to image Him more rightly, I can do that on my own. There is, I think, a knee-jerk thought in our minds that we can all be kind of a Robinson Crusoe Christian. That if I was on an island alone, then I could really get this being a Christian thing down pat. But if I was on my own, I could really get it working. Or alternatively, if I could find another Christian who had already arrived, who has already perfected things, and if I could sit at that person's feet and gain wisdom from them, then that would make me a better Christian. And that's kind of the substance of podcasts. We're sitting at their feet. We're gaining from them. But what Paul is saying is, no, actually, look around yourself. Look at the body that is around you. You will only grow in Christ as they grow in Christ. If the body around you is not growing in Christ, you should have no reason to expect yourself to grow in Christ. That there's a sense in which you are in it together. That there's a sense in which we are all in it together. You see, what we have here in the body of Christ and in God's Word is a certain denial of the self-help industry. It is a denial of that quote of dubious origin, God helps them who helps themselves. So what we have in here is a denial of these things, that is not how the body of Christ works. That's not how you grow in Christ. That is not how you obtain the goal that Christ intends for you. The goal being that you be built up together in love, as the perfect image of Christ being presented spotless and pure to Himself. That is His goal. No, how it is done is through one another. So earlier I was talking about how much I like being a pastor, how much I like to preach, to the point that I can almost neglect the congregation. And that's a problem. Because I, of course, in my context, it's in the context of Presbyterian Church of Manchester. If I stand there and say, well, I'm back in my room in my study, reading good systematic theology, reading good stuff, writing sermons that only I can understand, well, that puffs me up. But it does not build the body up. And as a result, I am impoverished because I am not built up either. You see, you and I, we grow. We are built up when the body grows. We are built up when the body is built up. We are built up when each part of the body is doing what it has been called to do. Each part. That's why Paul elsewhere can talk about and say, when one part of the body suffers, the whole of the body suffers, right? Because when one part of the body suffers, the whole of the body is lagging. We tend not to think that way. We tend to move in a direction of saying, well, you know, that part of the body, it wouldn't be such a bad thing if they left and found another church. Because they've kind of gotten on our nerves. No. When that part of the body that bothers us so is suffering, we are impoverished as well. We are all impoverished. Allow me to illustrate this by another way. Each year, my church youth group, we go on a missions trip. We go on a missions trip to West Virginia. It's a project that used to be ran by MTW. It's trying to be run by Mission to North America, another PCA acronym. and we'll see if they succeed. But we're going down there. We go down there once a year. And the guy who's in charge, he makes a comment at some point. He says, you know, his goal with the project is to grow the church. That's his goal. And you say, okay. And you go down there on the trip, and you're working and so on, and you're thinking, that's great. We're down here to grow the church, down here in West Virginia. And he says, hold on, no, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean we're down here in West Virginia to grow the church in West Virginia. And you say, oh, okay. Huh. So then you come to a more sophisticated thought. You say, well, we're doing ministry down here. So by our doing ministry down here, we are growing as individuals because we're learning to trust in Christ more. We're learning to trust the Holy Spirit. And you know, every day we have a worship service, and this is great. And that's what he means, right? And he says, no, that's not what I mean. What he means is this, that as we go down there and work and do that which we are called to do and to labor in that field, the church that sent us, that's still back in Connecticut, grows. You see the idea here, Paul is not just limited to the idea here when he says that each part is working. He's not limiting himself to the idea that each part is limited, is working in ministering to the other part. He is expanding it to the whole of each part is doing what it ought to do. Whether it's the preacher preaching, whether it is the usher ushering, whether it is the congregation listening, or any of the smaller or larger things, as each part does what it is called to do, the whole grows. This is why after Ephesians 4, he can go on to talk about husbands and wives and parents and children and masters and slaves. Often called, often referred to as a household code. It's a household code is this ancient idea that for want of an order, of an arrangement of society, the whole of society would fail. So if you can think, well, it was kind of the idea if the children did not obey the parents, then the parents would fail to obey the emperor, and the whole thing would fall apart. And Paul is playing with it. He's kind of messing with it. But he's saying something here. He's saying that for want of the part of the body, the whole fails. He's saying, in other words, he's saying to children, obey your parents. That's your calling. And because you obey your parents, the whole will be built up. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. But that's the way it is. That's the way the body works. Or it says, husbands, love your wives. For as you love your wife, so you reflect Christ in the church, and so you build up the whole church. And you say, well, that's silly. Why would my taking the garbage out for her build up the church? Well, in many ways, we don't know. We don't fully understand. But that's the way it is. And so that means a couple things for us. That means that we might say some application for us. One, it's we ought to be humbled by this thought, especially those of us in positions of authority. Whether we're talking about your elders, whether we're talking about teachers, whether we're talking about parents, whether we're talking about husbands over their wives. Because to fail in your duty of caring for those under you, for speaking truth with love, particularly with desiring for them that they be built up in Christ, that they would reflect Christ more and more, and desiring it earnestly, for failing to do that, not only have I failed for them, but I failed for myself. Not only have I injured them, but I've injured myself. And not only have I injured myself, but I've injured the whole church. If I fail to care for my children as a father, it is not simply them I'm injuring, it's not simply myself I'm injuring, but it's the whole body. So it ought to, particularly for those of us in authority, cause us to tremble. For when we neglect our calling to care for those who are under us, to speak truth and love to them, that is, to speak truth with the aim of raising them up, of building them up, rather than tearing them down and destroying them and putting them in their place. When we fail to do that, not only do we damage them, not only do we injure them, we injure the body. We injure the bride of Christ. We injure Christ's body. So it ought to fill us with some amount of fear and trembling. The bar is raised high. In such a sense, but at the same time, if we're not in authority, if we're children, whether adult children of aging parents or young children, or if we're wives, or if we're servants or even slaves for that matter, or if we're the congregation sitting underneath the elders or sitting underneath the pastor, it ought to give us joy. You see, before we read these words, we thought, well, you know, when I'm called to do this little thing, maybe to clean up after the service, boy, I don't enjoy doing that. Or maybe to set up or set down chairs. I'm talking the little things here. Or even smaller things than that. Suddenly those things are imbued with a glory, are they not? Because as I do that thing well, I am participating in the growth and the strengthening of the body of Christ. When I speak kind words to another, I'm not simply just speaking kind and loving words to another. I'm raising up the whole of the body of Christ. When I rejoice with those who have done their small part well, I am building up the whole body of Christ. So that no matter how small the part that I'm doing, no matter the fact that I'm not standing up here and glorying in myself, but sitting, I am participating in the body of Christ, and by doing so, I am building the body of Christ. A pastor I know once put it quite succinctly. He said, if Christ calls some to be shepherds and some to be pastors, then that also means he calls some to be sheep. The calling is still a calling. And no matter, even though it's so low, in the end it is so high. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Do you see what I'm getting at? That without the smallest of our callings, the rest of us, the authority of us, are hindered, are injured. For the body builds the body. That ought to call from us a certain new zeal about what God has called us to do. That even as we go to a work, as we go to a job that we do not enjoy, that we do not delight, and we sit under a boss who is utterly reprehensible, who never has a kind thing to say for us or what we do, that to do our job well there builds the church here. But there's this interconnectedness throughout your entire life of building the church. But it also means then, therefore, that we have a calling then, and here's our command, to speak truth and love to one another. That we are not all just Christian Robinson Crusoes on our own small islands, but that we are all united together, that we all stand together, that where one suffers, all suffer, And where one rejoices, all rejoice. It calls from us in our lives to look around ourselves with new eyes. Do you see that you are all part of the body of Christ? Have you been looking around at one another with that in mind, knowing that you are so connected with one another? That when one of you is hurting, the rest ought to gather around. When one of you has done something well, the rest ought to gather around it and rejoice. That you are all united. For as we gather around with one another, we obtain the goal of Christ. That we would be built up in love as the body of Christ. Joined together, knit together, leaning upon one another in ways we never understand. Till we are presented whole and spotless before Him. Discern the body of Christ around you. Know that you are the body of Christ. Know that the Spirit is working within you, creating you into a body, building you up. Amen. Join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask that you remind us of this joy, that you'd open our eyes to this mystery of participating in the body of Christ, that we are members one to another, all truly because we are united to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.